Welcome to Private Conversations with Denzel Baxter. This is Season 2, Episode 11, Trauma Bonding. Hey, hey, guys. So I'm actually, I have a guest with me today. It's my best friend, Zozo. I think y'all have heard her on a couple of the episodes. So we're going to have her on today, and we're going to have some good, deep conversation. So you guys be prepared, okay? All right. I know it's been a while. Love you.
Okay, so this is pretty personal. It's an excerpt from a writing exercise that I assign myself. A lot of times my therapist will assign writing assignments. The last one was a let go letter. And so I will just go ahead. And so basically this was about a lifelong friend who was potentially transitioning into a lover. And I kind of was nervous about the idea. It was something that I had like fantasized about my whole life. But when an opportunity came, I like avoided him and some things happened. And then he passed away. So it was pretty tragic for me, pretty rough. So I'll just get into it. It's as if I'd been betrayed. I felt so hurt and betrayed that I didn't want to be here anymore. I had no thoughts of suicide. I just wanted to go back, like a homesick child. I wanted to return to where things made sense. As if yesterday, the past, was where I belonged when I was stuck, stranded. With no car to call on, no escape, so I slipped. Life and I had broken up. I'd fallen out of love with her, and I had no desire to make it right. I didn't abuse the ganja. However, I did use it as medicine to sleep. I lie down, and before I did, I drank about 30 to 40 ounces of water, not eat, just smoke, then rest till night. Wake up a while, smoke, and go back to sleep. I eat at the salad bar at work daily, make a sandwich here and there, or a soup I enjoy, but I was about 105 pounds. My parents were worried. I couldn't worry. I was already too devastated. The worst had already happened. I just needed to stick in there for my kid, and I did. I healed and I recovered, whole and of sound mind. That's how I know that God is real. He kept his hand on me.
So, at the time, I knew you were going through a very dark phase. I just didn't know how bad it was because I feel like you hid it so well. But I knew that you were going through something, and I remember that when we had worked together years ago, you had always talked about this one special friend, but I don't remember you saying his name. And I just knew when he had passed, I knew how much he meant to you. And I was going through my own shit at the time. So I really didn't know how to be there for you as I could have been, but I tried the best. You know, I held you and I just did the best that I could do. But I know that everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I was put in your life for a special reason, and you were put in my life for a special reason, especially with what I'm going through right now. But I feel like he is an angel. I feel like he's watching over your life. I feel like that love that he had for you, it will never die. And whoever you date after this, you know, you just make sure you always go for somebody that loves you, that protects you, and don't settle for less. Don't settle for less, because why would you? It's just gonna kill your spirit. And yeah, I think that's all I have for that one.
you say that, because I feel like you were so there, so on point. I don't feel like there's anything that you could have done better. You literally were there every single step of the way, every phone call, every like time I needed you, or if I just wasn't feeling good, you would just pop up. If we were on the phone, you'd just be at the door the next minute. Like, it was just more than I could have asked for or anticipated. So big thank you for that. I think that once I got out of, I think it had been about a year, and then, you know, I'm just going, we might as well just keep it a book, keep it straight to the point. I stopped messing with the other guy that I was talking to, before all this happened, and it was nothing serious. It was kind of just like, you know, somebody to be bothered with. I literally didn't even like this nigga as a person. And it's funny, well, it's not funny at all, but he would actually say that to me. Like, he don't even like me. But anyway, yeah, he had to go. I couldn't blame him for what happened or anything like that, but everybody had to get the F away from me. And then after about a year, I started, like, you know, like, I had sexual needs and desires and things like that, so I started, like, looking when dating other, like, I wasn't really dating, but, like, when I say dating, or when I say looking, I literally mean, like, looking around, like, literally having conversations with people, considering going out and things like that. And I had a neighbor who was an associate to me, and that's when I met, told me she had somebody she wanted to introduce me to, and it was somebody who became a really good friend to me, and I was still in this dark place or whatever, and, when I met him, it just, like, the day I met him, it was just, like, his conversation was so wonderful. She sent us off to, like, she was like, so she had a daughter that was the same age as mine. And she was like, I'm gonna watch the girls and y'all, like, go pick the food up for everybody. And, well, she told him to do it. And she was like, Zoe, why don't you ride with him? And I was like, okay. So I was like, you know, the place was, like, on the other end of the street. So I was like, you know, what harm could it do? So I went ahead and went. And at first he was super quiet, super shy. And I just thought, you know, it's going to be one of these, like, black guy or, like, gangster guys. Like, you know, he don't have anything. He don't even have, like, any conversation for me. Turns out he was shy. We got to talking. We ended up having the same car. And we thought that was funny. And then he gave me, like, some money to go into this, like, into the liquor store. He gave me, like, I think it was, like, $100. And I was just like, what do you want me to get? And he was like, just get anything. Get everything you want and come back. And I was like, I wasn't a real drinker for, I just drank wine. So I got, like, a couple double bottles of wine and some more stuff for everybody at the house. Some Don Julio or something. And so we got back and I'm telling this story. I probably didn't have to tell all this and that, but yeah, from that day forward, we were, like, inseparable. And I remember seeing a friend that worked somewhere nearby that I would visit often, and sometimes I would just go just to see this guy. He was like, he was one of the few people in life that didn't have any ulterior motives. And he would just sit with me, and, like, sometimes he would smoke with me, and we would just hang out, and he worked third shift, and sometimes I would just, like, hang out with him until he got off work. He was amazing. And I remember him telling me, I remember, like, the next time I saw him, he was like, dang, he was like, it's like you another person. And I was like, what do you mean? He was like, it's like a light. Like, it's like, you are, like, glowing, or I'm trying to think of the exact terminology, but he was just like, it's like a light or something like that. So basically, you know, that stuck with me, and I just feel like this guy and the way that he loved me, and I remember I would get upset with him, and instead of, like, snapping back at me, like, I was used to, like, whether the person was right or wrong, knew they was right or wrong, if I called any of the guys out who I had dealt with it was like a snapback. It was like, it doesn't matter. Like, they was gonna flip it on me or be mad because I was mad, even if they knew why I was mad. Like, and with this person, it was always like, okay, you know, I apologize. I want to make it right. What can I do? Come here. And he would just, like, sit me on his lap, and he would be so gentle with me, and he would calm me down and hug me. And if he made a joke and it was too soon and I'd be about to, like, get up and walk away, he'd be like, no, I'm sorry, babe. And he was just such a man. I had never experienced anything like that from anybody I had ever dated. He was such a man to me, and all my emotions and all my I'm so emotional, just such a woman, or such a, you know. And so he just really knew his place, and he helped to love me back to life. And I really tried to hold on to that as long as I could, years out. And I had to acknowledge that sometimes people are in your life for reasons and seasons. And I know I would pray to God. I'd be like, sometimes I felt like I was trying to pray or talk or communicate with the person who I lost and be like, please send me an angel, like somebody to help me through, like, this huge void. And I had, the crazy part was that we were imagining and considering our life together. So it was like every day people would talk about, like, it's more fish in the sea and stuff like that. And it was just like, but that doesn't matter, like, because I'm on this chapter and y'all telling me to flip the page. But if this character is gone, what's the rest of my story? And it was just hard to even get through the day sometimes it would just be my goal, let me just get through today. Because I was just like, how am I going to keep living like this? Like, I don't want to do it. Like, I don't understand how I'm going to recover from this huge tragedy. And it was, like, so catastrophic. And it was going to be the highlight of my life. And now it's gone and it's over. And where do you go from here? So, yeah, that person really showed me something that was beautiful. And then I met another guy after him, and it was like, he had all the bells and whistles to go with it. He had the money, he had the, you know, the same energy and everything. And he was a seasoned as well. Well, I think it was just to restore my faith in man, like, in the future, and give me a hope and give me, like, understanding that there was more out here, and that all hope was not lost. So
that's beautiful. You know, I feel like sometimes, like, we have those people that, you know, I wouldn't say save us, but people that come into our lives after tragedy. I thought that was beautiful. That was very well said, very well spoken. You said everything that you had to say. My story is, as far as trauma bonding, is that I had met someone years ago. He was my weed man. And I just thought that he was just so sexy, just so blah, 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 blah. And I didn't think that he had wanted me because I was fat. And so years had passed, progressed, and there was a moment where we had collided, and we had collided pretty hard. It's so much more I can go into, but I'm not going to tell y'all that because y'all bitches are nosy. But we had started, you know, meeting every day, every other day, blah, blah, blah. He's one of those niggas. He want to move in. He want to do this. He want to do that. And I'm not that tight unless you got rent to pay. And so when he found me, I was in a very, very, very dark place. And I just needed to be loved. I needed to be held. I needed to be touched. And I was in a place where whatever he wanted to do, I did it. I did whatever he wanted me to do until I realized I was being used to a certain point. And that's when I clocked in and I was like, okay, wait. I don't care how drunk I am. I don't care how high I am. These things are not going to keep on happening. I'm not going to keep on being used. He wanted me to do a lot of stuff. And I had come in a place in my life where I wanted to get, at that time, sober. So I did. But, you know, he took me down there for a while. Like, he took me pretty down. Like, it's certain things I don't tell my friends, but I did my shit, but he did his shit too. He did his shit too. And I feel like when we met, we both were in a darkened place, and he would tell me about the trauma with his parents, the things that they didn't do, the things they should have done. And I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, he would vent to me for hours, like 3 hours, about certain shit that he was going through, certain shit that his parents did. And I just couldn't do it anymore. I was very reluctant to meet him in the first place anyway, because I was just like, I don't know. I'm used to dealing with, you know, upper echelon type of people. But he was a good guy. Like, he's a good guy overall. It's just that, you know, it just didn't work out. And, you know, when we ended, it did not end well at all. But I think our trauma bonding was mostly built on maybe not having a dad. Like, my dad, like, he worked a lot, like, when I was a child. So he was gone a lot. So I just had my mom. But he didn't have his mom or dad. And so I just think that we just both wanted to be loved. And I think that we both, we were just in a very dark place. And shit, it is what it is. I mean, it's gone now. But, yeah. I think that's my story because, yeah, that's all I can talk about because, yeah, I really ain't really dealt with nobody else that just brought me down to the fucking ground like that because, like, it was times that he would call me high and he would lie about, you know, doing drugs and stuff. But, like, he did drugs and he would call me snapping randomly about random ass shit I didn't know about. And then my ass would be drunk, so I'll be like, ooh. But, yeah. But I ended up, like, falling in love with a nigga. I wouldn't say falling in love, but I would say I ended up, like, loving him. Like, I still love him. Like, I still want to call this nigga every fucking day. Honestly. Because I just want one more hug from him. Just one more touch. Honestly. I just want one more hug. Like, I miss him so fucking much. Like, I miss him so much, but I know he's not right for me. I know he ain't shit. Who knows what house he's living in right now? He's probably on his other shit. And if he got his shit right, he would be okay. He don't even understand. He can't even comprehend that. Just get your shit right. Mm-hmm. And you'll be fine. Girl, say the shit. Girl, say
it. You know what's so funny is that these guys who you like, okay, so I've learned a lot. I had to learn these things. But I was very intentional. Like, I want to do this for love, you know, can work anything else out. Now I'm more like, you know, we're at this age and stage, please come as a package plan. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't need an appetizer. I don't just need the dessert. Bitch, I need 3, 4, 5 courses. Bitch, I need you to already have that. This is not a cooking session. I need you to come, you know what I'm saying, prepared. So, it's just interesting. What was we saying? I'm trying to get back to the beginning.
Trauma bonding.
No, nigga. hold on. Let me try to run it back. Okay, so I remember what I was gonna say. Yeah, so these, you know, I wanted a, you know, a farm to table nigga that knew how to do it on his own. I didn't want to have to prepare a table before you, you know. So now, so let me put this down. So, yeah, I just don't see why niggas want to offer to change themselves, the real, anything for you. If you do this, that, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth for them. Bitch, do it for you. Why do you think that I'm going to be so impressed with you offering to change your life for me? Bitch, you should have been preparing for me before you met me if I was that valuable to you. And what value do you, like, have for yourself if you're not going to prepare for things that mean something to you so that when you run into them, you'll be ready. You'll be ready. Like, you'll be strong enough to carry the, you know what I'm saying, the things that are, you know, handed to you or given to you that are, yeah, of worth and value, like, but you couldn't carry it. And it's just like, I've told niggas, like, you know, I do like you, I do care for you, it's crazy, you know, that we met this way, but I cannot deal with your lifestyle, like, yucky, like, that's crazy that you're almost like, your personality and your lifestyle is like split. Like, I've met some people and they're completely opposite, and they'll tell me, like, we just come from two different worlds. And I'm like, I've learned to be like, yeah, because I used to say, like, no, I get you, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, yeah. And then sometimes you meet people and they are just like an intellectual and they're kind and they're this and they're that. And they won't put like this lifestyle that they're accustomed to down, even though they have the capacity to, they have the, you know. So, yeah, I think that's what Aisha would, well, I think that's what, you know, I think that's what you were dealing with, was somebody offering you the world, if you give them the world first. If you love me, if you accept me, if you claim me, if you commit to me,
right,
then right, I will begin to do the work. Right. Like, oh my God, that is a really shitty deal. No thanks. Sorry.
All right, so that was the end of Private Conversations with Denzel Baxter. Me and Zozo, I appreciate her so much. Zozo, any final thoughts? Save your money, first of all.
Get your weight under control. Get your life under control.
Baby, save your money. I made $10K in October, and bitch, I ain't got shit to show for it.
Save yourself. Get a face regimen.
Oh, and get veneers.
Make a to-do list, bitch.
Make a to-do list, bitch. Check get a job. Off. Check it off. Bitch, suck a dick. Oh. And swallow it, shit. And get paid for it.
No, use a condom.
Use a condom. I'm sorry. We do what we can and we clock out. Good night and what?
Good luck.
Say it louder.
Good night and good luck, honey.
Say it louder.
Ah! Good night and good luck, baby.
All right. Bye. Brr.